Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Make no mistake, God created you to be a leader. We started this teaching on yesterday's call. We'll finish it today. But first, let's do a brief review. There's one thing we can know for sure. The enemy has and is continuing to use clever tactics to keep each of us from realizing that we're leaders. Sadly, many believers allow him to get away with this deadly deception. You may never have thought of yourself as a leader. And truthfully, what you think will hinder what you accomplish. The real question is, what does God think about you being a leader? How does he see you?
In Ephesians 2 verse 10 in the New Living Translation, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago."
You are God's masterpiece. Does that sound like you're a failure, a has-been, or a never was? And see, not only are you God's masterpiece, but he has plans for you. God has the unique ability to make something out of nothing. And that's what he'll do with each of us. We just let him. He sees leadership potential in you. And that's why you are his masterpiece. Let's do a brief review before we get to seven reasons you need to pick up that leadership mantle. Number one. Confident of who you are in Christ. Confidence will take you places doubt never will.
Amen.
Confidence in our Heavenly Father makes you a winner in life every time, no matter what you're facing. 1 John 5:15, Message Bible. If we are confident that he's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. We must have confidence in the one who gives us life, and provides the opportunity for us to live it abundantly and eternally. Psalm 53:6, Classic Amplified. What time I'm afraid, I will have confidence in you and put my trust and reliance in you. In every circumstance, terrific or trying, our confidence must always be in the Lord.
Number two, to be humble. Philippians 2:3 in the Classic Amplified says, "Do nothing from factional motives, through contentiousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the other as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do of yourselves. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant." The Bible says the key to making our life significant is to humble ourselves, to recognize that we can do nothing in and of ourselves, but that God can do anything and will do it through us. The word humble in the Strong's Concordance means to behave in an unassuming manner, devoid of haughtiness, to bring down one's pride. Humility, according to the Herring Unabridged Dictionary, which Harold loves, not published yet and probably never will be, means to recognize that everything we have or hope to have is possible because of the greater one who lives in us, and our obedience to his word. That's a good one, though.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Number three, enthusiastic. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the American poet, once said, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm."
That's true.
As we've said many times, enthusiasm literally means God within. A leader must set the standard. They must also be enthusiastic, even in the most difficult circumstances. Dale Carnegie, the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, once said, "Act enthusiastic and you will be enthusiastic. An effective leader knows that his or her enthusiasm is contagious, will spread like an epidemic to those who work with them. Ephesians 6:7, New Living Translation. Work with enthusiasm as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. One of the greatest revelations you can ever receive is that you're working for the Lord and not man. This fresh perspective will automatically increase your desire and sharpen your attitude toward work and life.
That is so true. I could preach a sermon on it.
Absolutely. Oliver Wendell Holmes, the great jurist, leader, once said, "It's faith in something and enthusiasm for something that makes a life worth living." Great quote.
Number four, strong character qualities. One of the most highly valued character qualities is that of integrity. Our integrity is something that we can't help but it will be. Let me put it this way. Our integrity is something that we can have something to do with.
We can have something to do with.
It will be brought to light whether we like it or not.
Our integrity shows up.
And we will never find a person of integrity living without hope either. Job 4:6 in the New Living Translation says, "Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope?" A person of integrity will hold fast to their convictions and not waver at the sight of the first conflict. And one more thing that we'd like to do to clarify Proverbs 28:6 in the Classic Amplified, because it's frequently misinterpreted. The verse says, "Better is the poor man who walks in his integrity than he who willfully goes in double and wrong ways, though he is rich." Notice the last part of the verse says, "though he is rich." The scripture is not a condemnation on wealth, but a condemnation on wickedness. It's not the fact that a person's rich or small, listen to me, rich or poor, but the wickedness in their heart is the focus of the verse. So money does, though, bring out who people are on the inside. The verse does say it better. It's better to be poor and have integrity than be rich and not. And it's better to see a poor person walk in their integrity than to see a rich person who is evil. But the point is, it's the character of a person's heart, not the balance in their checkbook, or perhaps a lack thereof, that determines who they are.
Number five, forgives. A leader understands that he or she can create no room in their hearts for unforgiveness because it will affect their effectiveness. The leader understands in order to win any battle, they must never be cut off from their supply lines. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you have offense against anyone else, God will not hear your prayers, thus effectively cutting off your source of supply for the battles that you will face. Make no mistake about it. If you're an effective leader, you're going to make somebody mad or they'll get upset with you. But if you harbor resentment against those who question your leadership or abilities, then your skills will be questioned. Colossians 3:13, New Living Translation. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive one another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. A good leader, whether of a large group or a community or a family, will understand the importance of forgiveness.
Number six, be a good listener. A leader, whether in the home or the marketplace, learns the importance of listening before speaking. By listening and asking the right questions, we can better understand what motivates the person we're talking to. In James 1:19, Classic Amplified, it says, "Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry." The real measure of a leader is listening to other people talk, especially when they're discussing something. I mean, maybe you don't care about at that point. When you learn to effectively listen, you do definitely receive benefits. James 1:25 in the Contemporary English Version says, "But you must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey and don't just hear and forget." Do you get that? When we listen and obey and not just hear and forget, God blesses everything you do.
Absolutely. Number 7, a leader should never accept the status quo. God doesn't go for status quo. Make no mistake, God does not want us settling for just getting by or spinning our wheels going nowhere. He wants us to make the most of everything that he's entrusted us, to take the initiative. A leader always takes the initiative. Some years ago, I saw a cross stitch in a friend's office that said, "Initiative is doing the right thing without being told to do it." A leader never settles for what is instead of what can be. God wants his leaders feeding his sheep, and not just when things are convenient. In John 21:17, in the Contemporary English Version, he points out that feeding and caring for his sheep is a way to prove our love for him. Jesus asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him three times if he loved him. So he said, "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus replied, "Feed my sheep." A true leader loves those who are assigned to his or her care and trust. You are a leader. Never let anybody else convince you or not. That's the way God created you.
A masterpiece.
That's it, whether you realize it or not. Mm. And that's a fact.
Tonight.
Sunday Night Live.
That's right. It's
going to be awesome.
Yes, it is.
Finished it yesterday. It's going to be awesome. So make sure you join us tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern. Go to haroldherring.com. Click on Join Harold and Bev Sunday Night. You'll be blessed. You'll get an outline of the teaching. It's just awesome. Really is. Speaking of awesome, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Click on the button that says Sunday Night Live.
Sow a seed.
I'm still trying to get people to watch tonight. Click on the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what to sow. As you know, that's all we'll ever ask. Till tomorrow, tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern and tomorrow morning at 8:30, every morning at 8:30. God bless you. Keep thinking rich thoughts.
And happy trails.
We shook it up today. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.